Hi, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Doris Emick, with thanks and appreciation of our organists, Edith, Barb, and Sue.
Good morning, and greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So today we're going to do something a little bit different than how we have been doing this. We're going to be a little bit more casual today. We're going to be simply going through the propers for Sunday morning. The propers are the different readings that change each week. And so today, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, we'll read through the different readings, and after we read one, we'll just comment on them and maybe think about them a little bit devotionally. The Old Testament reading for today is from Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the very beginning of the book of Ruth, and it beautifully paints for us a wonderful story of how God preserves his people, and in particular, how God has brought about different people in order that the Messiah might one day be born. So the story of Ruth, you might read it and wonder, well, what point does this have in the Bible? Well, Ruth is the mother-in-law of Naomi, and Naomi is the mother ultimately of Jesus, but the mother of the father of King David. And so the Lord works through Ruth and Naomi, through Naomi particularly, a woman who was not of the tribe of Judah, a woman who is outside of the people of God. The Lord worked through this woman who was a pagan in order to bring about the Christ. It's an incredible story of God's preservation of his people and his preservation and his foresight into bringing about the Christ who came to be our Savior and our Redeemer. So the story is interesting. You have Ruth, and Ruth and her husband and her two sons, they go and they live in the country of Moab. They are strangers, they are sojourners in this land because there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem in Judah. And of course, you know, Bethlehem is where the Christ is born later. And so they have to leave Bethlehem and they have to go and live in Moab because there is this terrible famine in the land. They need to be preserved during these years. Well, while they are there, their sons marry two non-Israelites, right? They take Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth. They live there for a while, but then eventually all the men die. So today we don't really recognize this because war is different today. But in earlier centuries, when the men would go out to war, it was common that there would be a lot more women than men, and a lot of husbands would die. And so there were a lot of broken homes on account of war because the husbands had died. So one of the things that the Lord had set about to do for his people was he instituted what was called Levirate marriage, which is that if a husband dies, one of his surviving brothers would marry his wife and provide sons for his dead brother, so that for one reason, that dead brother's name would continue on and his inheritance would continue on through him. But then secondly, so that the widow might be taken care of. When all of the men have died, who's going to take care of all of these poor widows? There's a lot of work to be done. How are the mothers supposed to take care of all of their children and take care of all of the work and everything? They need help. They need somebody to take care of them. And so this is what levirate marriage was designed to do. It seems strange to us, I understand that, but it had a purpose. And so this is why Naomi says, am I supposed to have more children? Are there more children, more sons in my womb that they can grow up and marry you one day? No, she wasn't going to get married again. She was too old. She wasn't going to have any more children. She was kind of at the end of that stage of her life. And so she told her daughters-in-law to leave and so that they might go and find another husband somewhere else, that they might start a new life in another place. But Ruth is interesting, right? She's told, turn back. But instead, she clings to Naomi. She says, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Right? Naomi and Ruth are now worshiping the same Lord. Ruth has adopted faith in the true God. No longer is she worshiping her false gods, but she is worshiping the true God. She is following the true God, and she is going to follow her mother-in-law back to the land of promise, back to Bethlehem. At which point, you know the rest of the story, perhaps, where she does meet a man, a Bethlehemite. The Lord preserves the two of these ladies. And ultimately, then Ruth marries a man, and they have children, and hence we have the Christ and David before him born from this union. So the Lord took this terrible situation in order to preserve his people. Our epistle today is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Here again, St. Timothy is taught by St. Paul to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that he is to fight the good fight, to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be encouraged to endure everything for the sake of the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Our gospel reading for today is from Luke chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Indeed, that final line, we should rather translate it. We should say, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." Indeed, this leper, he was not only healed of his physical illness, his leprosy, but he was given eternal life. He was saved because his faith has given him life eternal. The story is a wonderful one, a well-known one, perhaps. Jesus is along, and he's met by 10 lepers who stand at a distance, as is required of them, and they lifted up their voices, as is required of them, because no one should come near them, because their leprosy was so easy to spread from person to person. Their prayer, however, was not, "I'm unclean," but to say, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And indeed, the Lord Jesus had mercy on them. He healed them of their sins. He healed them of their illness. But only one of them returned. One of them, a Samaritan, one who wasn't even one of the Israelites, he turned back. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet. He praised God with a loud voice. He gave him thanks. How many are there who have received such good things from God, who have received everything from him, and failed to return and give thanks to him? And so may the lesson for us here be a reminder that God has blessed us so supremely, so abundantly and richly, and so ought we now to turn back and give thanks to God for all that he has done for us in Christ Jesus. God be with you all. Godspeed. I hope you enjoyed this devotion of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. God bless you.